You have your Bibles, we'll turn to Joshua and the chapter 1 that we read together. Joshua 1, I want to speak this morning on going forward on the promise of God. Our text is found in verse 5, the end of verse 5, God's promise to Joshua. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Going forward on the promise of God. Let's all pray. Father in heaven, we pray for thy blessing to be upon the preaching of the word. We rejoice in thy word as one Lord who has found great spoil. We pray that thou would help us to listen and to understand thy word this morning, even Lord, to preach it. The word you've laid upon our heart, and let it prove to be a blessing to the hearts of all of your people. We thank you, Lord, we can go forward on the promise of God. Bless our time now, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Going forward on the promise of God. It says here at the end of verse 5, I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. We have just been singing a great hymn together, Standing on the Promises of God. And the hymn writer, the man who wrote this hymn, realized as he lived in this world, the only thing he had was the Bible. And the only thing to help him in times of trouble was the Word of God. And the only thing that he could trust was the promise of God. And that's why he wrote those words, standing and standing and standing on the promises of God. And I want to say this morning, that's all you and I have. That's all we have in this world. To live the Christian life and for the future, whatever it may hold, for the province, for our land, for our family, whatever. The only thing we can trust and the only thing, friends, we have. And I want to say this, the only thing that we need is the Bible. Nothing else. Going forward on the promise of the Lord. The promise of God are very personal. You can read in the Word of God, God coming to His people and making promises. We can think of the promise of God to Abraham in Genesis 12, verse 1 to 3. I will make of thee a great nation. I will bless thee and make thy name great. We think of God's promise unto Noah. He says in Genesis 9 and verse 11, and I will establish my covenant with you. Now here's God's promise personal. God coming to Abraham, God coming to Noah in this passage, God coming to Joshua, and God is making a promise to you. Sometimes when we come to church, God brings a promise to you. Sometimes, child of God, you lift up the Bible and God speaks to your heart. Maybe it's a sermon that is preached by God's servant. I don't know. But there are times God still speaks. And God comes with His promises and He speaks to God's people. To you. God's promises are very plentiful. There was a man called Vance Haver who said there are approximately, and I didn't count them to see, but he said this. There's approximately 8,810 promises in the entire Bible. And he searched out the Old Testament. He said there are 7,706 in the Old Testament. And in the New Testament, 1,104 promises. In Deuteronomy, he said there's 133 promises, which is more than any chapter in the Bible. And what this man is saying here, 8,810 promises of God. And the promises of God, dear friends, are personal, but they are very plentiful. Not just one promise. That's all God could give us, is all we would need. But over 8,000 promises in the Word of God to His people. And God's promises are very powerful. What He promises, He will succeed. He will never fail us. What He promises, He shall surely perform. In Psalm 89, verse 34, my covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that is gone out of my lips. And God says, what I have promised, I will fulfill. None can stand against the Lord, you see. And here's God coming to Joshua. And he's coming to Joshua with a promise. And he says to Joshua, well, Joshua, I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. You see, he had the promise of God. God made a promise on to Joshua. Similar words can be found in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5, where the Lord says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. That's a promise. And dear friends, the same God that promised Joshua, we can take this promise for ourselves. God is on speaking terms with His people. His blood bought people, redeemed by the precious blood of Christ. And God said to Joshua, I, Joshua, and your people, I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Friend, that's a living promise of God today. That promise still lives to God's people. God still speaks to us with the same words, with the same power, with the same truth of the promise. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. God's promise then to Joshua. I want to say first of all about the promise. I want to look at the themes in the promise. You can see clearly, very clearly, there were two themes in this promise to Joshua. Joshua had the promise of God's power. God says to him, I will not fail thee. Now that is very basic, very simple. Joshua, you can depend upon me for the days that lie ahead. I will not fail thee. I promise you, Joshua, in the days that lie ahead for you and for the nation of Israel, I will not fail thee. He had the promise of the power of God. God says, I'll not fail you. And you think, dear friends, that the promise of God is great, or the power of God is great. In Psalm 147 verse 5 it says, great is our Lord and of great power. And when God was saying in Jeremiah 27 and verse 5, I have made the earth, the man and the beast that are upon the ground by my great power. And when God speaks about His power, He says, well, it's a great power. And He says here to Jeremiah, I have made the world, I have made man, I have made the beast. And how did I do this? Well, He says, I did it by my great power and my stretched out arm, you see. So Joshua had the promise of this great power. I will not fail thee. And notice what he said. As I was with Moses. As I was with Moses. Ah, Joshua could turn back to the life of Moses. Moses was a man of God. Moses was a man who had great power. He stood against Pharaoh. Was he not the one who called plague after plague down from heaven upon the nation of Israel? He was a man of mighty, mighty power. And God says, well, as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. And I, Joshua, will not fail thee, you see. You have my power, great power, a power that cannot be defeated. In Job 9, verse 4, he says, he is wise in heart and mighty in strength, who hath hardened himself against them and has prospered. And Jehovah said, well, who has stood against the Lord and has prospered? Now I want to say that there are many people stands against the Lord. Many nations stand against God. Many kings can stand against God. And let me say this, many people in this church, if you're not saved, well, you're standing against God. But here's what Job said, who has hardened himself against him and has prospered?
None.
None can overthrow, friends, God. You see, He is all-powerful. In Job 9, verse 12, behold, He taketh away. Who can hinder Him? Who will say unto Him, what doeth thy God? He is sovereign, He is king, He is Lord. He can do whatever He likes. Joshua had this power. And Joshua could go forward on this promise of God. I have got the power of God. God has said to me, well, He will not fail me. He had the promise of the power of God. As F.B. Meyer said, when a man knows he has been called to do a certain work, he is invincible. Why? Because he's the power of God. I will not fail thee. That's the promise of the power of God to Joshua. And I want to say to all of God's people, we have this promise. I have this promise. I'm standing on the promise of God. I have nothing else in my life that I can depend upon. Nothing else that you have as well. We need nothing else but the Word of God and the promise of God. Friends, it is enough. It is enough that God says to us today, I will not fail thee. We have the power of God. We have His promise. I tell you this, in a matter of our salvation, God will not fail. I'm going home to heaven. God will not fail. The one who loved us, who bled upon the cross, who died, listen, is coming someday to take me home to heaven. I give unto them, he says, eternal life, and they shall never perish. God will not fail me. We're all going home to glory, friends. One day we'll be in the kingdom of heaven. One day we'll look upon the face of Christ. Every one of God's blood white children will make it home to heaven, friends. You see, friends, we've got the power. God will not fail. God will not fail us. He'll not fail in our service either, friends. Our labour is not in vain in the Lord. Our service is Philippians 4 verse 13. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. God will not fail. In our supply that we need in our life, my God shall supply all your need. Oh, I will not fail, says God. I will not fail thee. Joshua was going forward on the promise of God. I will not fail thee. He had the promise of God's powers. So have I. And all child of God, so have you. The promise of the power of God. He had the promise of God's presence. I will not fail thee, listen, nor forsake thee. Oh, how great is this promise of the Lord. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Joshua, you can count upon me. I will always be by your side. Now I know you're going into this strange land, and he was. But listen, Joshua, you can count upon me. As I was with Moses, well, so I will be with thee, you see. It's a promise of the presence of God. God says, I'll be with you. If you look at verse 9, he says, be strong of good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee. Whithersoever thou goest, friend. He says, Joshua, I'm with you. It doesn't matter where you go, what part of this new land you're going into. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter, Joshua. I promise I will not fail thee. And I promise you I will not forsake thee. And wherever you go, I'll be with you. Friend, that's the greatest blessing of life, isn't it? To know that God is with you. To have this promise of the Lord with you. God says to his people in Hebrews 13 verse 5, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. And I can say this morning, friends, we have this promise, the things of this promise, God's power, God's presence. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. I'm glad in my life that God is with me. No matter what the future holds for us, friends, I know that God will not fail us, and I know that God will never, ever leave us. What a promise we have. And you're glad you had the promise of God this morning. And you'll be glad and rejoicing this morning that you're standing. None of my promises, for I wouldn't keep them. But God will keep the promise. I will not fail thee, friends, nor forsake thee. So we had this the themes of the promise. I want to look secondly at the timing of the promise. God gave him this promise, we can say, at the right moment. Because we notice it was at a time of weeping. Now, in the passage in Deuteronomy, it tells us something happened to the people of Israel. What happened? Well, Moses died. Moses, that great man of God, the one who was their friend, their leader, their commander, the one who guided them, the one who prayed for them, the one who led them. Well, Moses, could you imagine the shock that went out through the land or the people of Israel that Moses was dead? Could you imagine what that would be like? You can see there in verse 7 of Deuteronomy 34. And Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eye was not dimmed, his nostrils first abated. And the children of Israel wept for Moses in the plains of Moab. 30 days, so the days of weeping and mourning for Moses was ended. Could you think of the heartache in the nation? Moses was dead. And the people wept. And the people's heart was full of sadness and of sorrow. And they cried. And their hearts were broken. Sadness filled their hearts. And no doubt even the very, very heart of Joshua. Look at verse 1. It says, now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass. After the death of Moses, God made the promise. After this time of weeping, after this time of sadness, after this time of heartache, God made the promise. And God comes along to Joshua and he says, Joshua, I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Moses is dead. Moses is gone. But I'll never leave you. You see, it was a time, dear friends, of weeping. It was a time also, the time of the promise, time for work. Because in verse 2, God says to Moses, or to Joshua, Moses, my servant is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them. It was a time of work. He was now, dear friends, the leader. He was now the one that the people would look to. He was the one who was to bring them into the promised land. And great responsibility now laid upon Joshua. It was all right. He was in the background beforehand. He could let Moses, well, you better see Moses. Moses will tell you what to do. And, well, Moses will guide us where to go. But now, it was Joshua. He was a man at the front. He was now the leader. He was now, dear friends, the commander. He had to take him along a pathway, as chapter 3 verse 4 says, you have not passed this way heretofore. You have never been this way before. All of these things was before this man, Joshua. Then God gave him the promise. Didn't know what the future held. But friend, it was enough to know God was with him. He had the God's power and God's presence. It was a time of war as well, because you see in verse 5, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. Look at the words here, stand against thee. Oh, the Lord knew that the children of Israel were going to be resisted on every step. They were going to go into this new land, no doubt, but the enemies were waiting. Battles were to be fought. Enemies that were mighty, enemies that were great, enemies that were fierce, enemies that were wicked were going to come against Joshua and going to come against his people. You see that over in Numbers chapter 13. The spies brought back the report about what's the people like in this land. In Numbers 13 verse 28 they said, nevertheless the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and are very great. Moreover, we saw the children of Anak there, and they come back with the report. Well, what about the cities? Well, they're strong, and the cities are walled and very great. And we saw here the children of Anak, and it tells us on down that there were giants. And it says, well, when we saw the inhabitants of this land, we were like grasshoppers. My friends, they come back with this report about the cities, about the walls, about the giants. Great is our enemies. Great are the battles that lie before us. That's when God gave the promise. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Yes, you've heard all about the size of the enemy, the state of the enemy, about our cities, about the walls and everything. But God makes this promise. I will not fail thee, Joshua, nor forsake thee. As John Calvin said, as a contest was about to be waged with the numerous and warlike enemies, it was necessary to inspire Joshua with special confidence. And here's Calvin said, he needed this promise. It was needful in a sense. God had to come to Joshua. There was a time of war. Great enemies were to be overthrown. And yet the Lord comes at the right time. At the right time. A time of conflict. Time of battles. A time of war. And God said, Joshua, I'll not fail you. I'll not fail you. A time of weakness, can I say. As you will find there, friends, I have no doubt that Joshua felt weak. How do we know that? You know, three times the Lord tells him to be strong. You see that in verse 6. Be strong and of good courage. In verse 7, only be thou strong and very courageous. And in verse 9, have not I commanded, be strong and of good courage. And Moses said in Deuteronomy 31 in verse 6, be strong and of good courage, fear not, nor be afraid of them. Nor be afraid of this enemy that lay before him. Be strong, Joshua, be of good courage. That was the message of Moses. That was God's message.
You see, no doubt he felt his weakness. How can I take these people into this land? How can I defeat these enemies? How can I stand against them? God comes.
And God makes a promise. Joshua, I will not fail thee. I will not forsake thee.
You see, friends, the timing of this promise, it was right. Right at the right time. Time of weeping. A time of war, dear friends. A time of weakness. God comes with a promise.
How true those words are in Isaiah 50, verse 4. The Lord hath given me the tongue of a learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. The word comes at the right time.
Maybe today, friends, you feel the pressure in the Christian life. Maybe today you're concerned about things in your family life. Maybe you're concerned about things in the political situation in our land. Whatever the case may be, all I know is this, friends. God makes the promise. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Oh, we think about the work that lies ahead in preaching Christ and seeking to win the lost. God says, I will not fail thee. We think of the battles in our land that are yet to be fought for freedom and religious liberties. God says, I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Now, dear friends, God comes at the right time, you see.
Maybe you're cast down. Maybe you wonder where your life is going, your Christian life is going. Maybe there's problems and trials, and well, they've been building up over the last weeks or whatever, months or whatever. Listen, the promise of God, I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. That's a promise. And it's God's. It says in Isaiah 41, verse 10, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. That's the same things. God is saying to his people, fear not, I am with thee. I will help thee. I will strengthen thee, you see. Oh, the timing of the promise. It came at the right time. Maybe today is just the right time for you to hear this promise. Maybe, dear child of God, at the point of despair, wondering where to turn, where to go, what to do. Oh, child of God, there are many times in our life we're in this position. And you have never been down in the dumps, or you have never been like Elijah on the juniper tree, you soon will be. Ah, friends, you can sit under that tree with a promise. I will not fail thee, says God, nor forsake thee. You see, Joshua, he had the promise of God. I want you to notice the testing of the promise. You Joshua to led those people into the promised land. You know what he had, friends? The only thing he had in his bosom was the promise of God. That's all he had. He went to face the people and tell the people, well, arise, we're going into the land. Well, on what grounds could he say to the people, we're going into this land? Well, he says, I've got the promise of God. I've got the promise. And what is that promise? Well, the Lord has spoken to me, and he has said to me, I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. And that's the only thing he had. That's the only thing this man of God had. But I want to tell you this, friend. The promise was tested. Oh, not at Jericho. He went up to Jericho. They walked around it according to God's commandment, round and round. And then when they all cried and they all shouted and they all blew the trumpet, well, we find what happened. The whole city fell down and went in and took the city for God. But it tells us in chapter 7 what happened at Ai. A different story. Because Achan had sinned unknown to Joshua. Sin was in the camp. And now they're going up to fight, and they're going to fight against Ai. And I have no doubt they were confident. Ai was not as great a city as Jericho. No, not a bit of it. And they were going up to fight. These people. And they says, well, let just a few of us go up. That's going to be easy measy for us boys. We'll go up and we'll sort them out. No problem. That's what they thought, friends. But you can read what happened in Joshua 7. In verse 5, and the men of Ai smote of them 36 men, for they chased them from before the gate on, even unto Shebarim, and smote them in the going down. Wherefore the hearts of the people melted and became as water. And Joshua rent his clothes and fell to the earth upon his face. And you can see in verse 7, it says, "Alas, O Lord God, wherefore has thou at all brought this people over Jordan to deliver us into the hands of Amorites to destroy us?" And now do you see what's happening now? Joshua, well, he's down before God. His heart is broken. The people have been defeated. And he says, "Lord, well, why has I brought us down into this land to destroy us?" You see, if it was happening, was this. The testing of the promise. The promise was being tested. It seemed as if the promise failed. It seemed as if, well, what about God's promise? Maybe somebody could have come up and tapped Joyce on the shoulder and says, "Well, what about God's promise now, eh? Look at your men running, eh? Running and hiding. Look at those who have been put to death to the sword. Now look at Joshua, look at you now. You're down and you're mourning and you're groaning before God and you're complaining. And you're saying to the Lord, well, why has I brought us down here to destroy us?" What about the promise? The promise was still there. You see, friends, he was down, heartbroken, but the promise was still there. It was still there, you see. The promise was tested. And see, it's Spurgeon says, "Defeat in the hands of faith are only preparations for victory." What I'm saying this, friends, the promise will be tested. And you think of God's promise unto Abraham, and he says to Abraham, "Get into the land, I'll make of thee a great nation. I'll make thy great name great." And he went away into this new land with his wife and so on. And you know what it tells us in Genesis 12, verse 10, "And there was a famine in the land." Could you imagine? Joshua going in with his wife and family. "God's going to bless me. I'm going to get great blessings in this land." And the next minute, there was a famine. It seemed as if the promise failed. There was nothing for him. He had to run away down to Egypt. But what I'm saying is this. The testing of the promise. The promise was tested. And so it will be, friends, in our Christian life. Our faith will be tested. You can be sure of that. In 1 Peter 1 verse 7, "That the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire." Listen, our faith will be tested. It will be tested. In the work of the Lord, in this church, it will be tested. In your family life, it will be tested. In the political sense in our nation at this time, our faith will be tested. And it seems as if, well, the promises failed. That's the way it was with Joshua. Dying before the Lord and saying to the Lord, "Well, why have you brought us into this position to destroy us?" But the promise was still there. It was still there, friends. And I want to say to you, if you're dying in the place where Joshua is this morning, I say, "Lord, why? Just why? Why is this happening in my life? Why, Lord? Why are these things?" Promise is still there. You've still got it, friends. You've just forgotten about it. Just forgot. They're like Pilgrim's Progress. Found themselves in Doubting Castle, held in by giant despair, wondering how are they going to get out, and they didn't know. They forgot to have the promise of God. Your faith will be tested. If one writer says, "God has not promised to take any of you to heaven without trying your faith. He will not fail you." But here's what he said. "But he will bring you very low." There are times God will bring us low. But he'll not fail. The promise, friends. So, and I want you to remember this. You'll always have the promise. I want you to never lose sight of Christ. Never lose sight of his word. Never lose sight, friends, of his promise. "I will not fail thee," says God, "nor forsake thee." Oh, I'm missing you. Where is God? Where is God in my life? He's just there, friends. You've still got the promise. You've still got it. I want to know, is it taken of the promise? You find in taking of the promise, Joshua's faith. By faith he went forward trusting the promise of God. The Lord told him to rise over Jordan. Chapter 3, verse 15 tells us that Jordan was overflowing, its banks at that time. There was no bridge to take the people across. There were no boats to ferry the people across. Yet, not a complaint falls from the lips of Joshua. Not a murmur, not a question. No, by faith. It was enough that God had spoken. It was enough that God says, well, I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Didn't matter about Jordan. Didn't matter, friends, about it overflowing at all seasons. Didn't matter about it. We'll get across. He took the promise, dear friends, by faith. And so it is with you, child of God. You wonder, how can I get across my Jordan? It's going to swallow me up, you say. It's going to drown me. It's going to destroy me. Listen, you'll get across. If you walk by faith, the Bible says, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7, and not by sight. Joshua didn't judge a situation by sight, but by faith. That's what we are to do in the Christian life. Judge the whole thing by faith, friends. God will not fail us, nor forsake us. He also had the joy of following the Lord, because in verse 8, the Lord said, and this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. You see, Joshua had faith, but he also had to follow the Lord. And it was a relation to the Word of God. The Word of God was not to depart out of his mouth. He was to meditate. He was to observe it. He was to obey it. And then God said, when you do this, when your relationship is right with the Bible, then thou shalt have good success. And then thou shalt prosper. You see, friend, it was only a Joshua walked uprightly that he could claim the promise. Joshua had his wee bit to do, we could say. And in relation to the Word of God, and if you and I are ever going to enjoy this promise of God, we've got to walk with God. We've got to read the Bible. We've got to meditate upon the Bible. We've got to obey the Bible. How can we prosper? How can we go on in the Christian life if we do not obey the Word of God? God says, for then thou shalt prosper. And then thou shalt have good success. So Joshua had his to take this promise, he had to do these things. And Joshua was faithful to the Lord. He could not sit down and say, well, the Lord will deal with our enemies. The Lord will deal. Don't worry about them, boys. Friends, he had his bit to do. Joshua had to get his soldiers up on their feet. He had to get them to go to fight. He had to rise with them. He had to get them trained. He had to do all of these things. He had to command them and to lead them and to guide them and to help them. And Joshua had to fight the battles. He had to take the people out. It was not enough for Joshua to sit down and say, well, the Lord says, I will not fail thee. Well, the Lord says that he never leave us. The Lord says we'll get the whole land. It was not enough. He had his bit to do. He had his bit to do, friends. He had to go out to slay the Amorite, the Hittite, and the Hivite. They had to destroy the enemies. He had his bit to do. Oliver Cromwell said one time, as we know that well-known saying, trust in God, but keep your powder dry. We have our bit to do, friends. To have all the promises of God fulfilled, we are to walk uprightly. But we are to work. Do you want to see this church really, really, really prosper? And souls can see it. It's not enough to sit down and say, well, you know, God will do it. God uses us to do it. We have all our part to play in the work of God, friends. We are to go out. We are to preach Christ. We are to pray. We are to plead with him. We are to do our bit. It is not enough for us to sit still and say, well, I've got the promise. I've got the promise of God. That is right. In the one hand, dear friends, we've got the promise. But in the other hand, we've got the responsibility. We are to go out. We are to pray. We are to plead for people. To come. We do not just sit still and do nothing. Work and pray. That's how Joshua he took this promise. That's how he dealt with it. He went on the offense and he trusted and he had faith and he followed the Lord and he fought for the Lord, you see. And all of this church and every Christian in this church, we had the same spirit of Joshua. And friends, we'll go on with God and work for God and war for God in this town and in our country. Can I say lastly about the triumph of the promise? You can read through this book and you'll find this. That God kept his promise. God kept it. Enemies were defeated. You'll find that Joshua and the children of Israel, well, they obtained the promised land. And says in Joshua 11 verse 23, Joshua took the whole land. Isn't that amazing? God said Joshua took the whole land. Didn't it say Joshua took the land? But it said Joshua took the whole land. He took it all, friends. In 21 verse 45, the same book, it says, there failed not aught of any good thing which the Lord had spoken of the house of Israel. All came to pass. It all came to pass, friends. God promised Joshua, I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. I'll give thee the land. None, no man will be able to stand before thee. And Joshua took his troops in, and they fought battle after battle, after battle, after battle. And it tells us here, and Joshua took the whole land. You know what that means, friend? God kept his promise. There was nothing failed. He took the whole land, you see. And let me say, it could be none otherwise, you see. For God said he would take the land. And God cannot fail. It was Spurgeon who said, if the Lord raises up Luther and does not help Luther, then it is not Luther that fails, it is God that fails. And God's raised up this witness for him. Then, dear friends, if the witness fails, it's God. But God will not fail his promises. You see, we are on victory's side, friends. I take great confidence in this day and age and where we're living in our land. God will not fail. We have the wonderful promise of God. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. And everything that God has promised will and surely and must prevail. And Joshua went forward on the promise of God. And let us go forward this morning in the promise of God. Despite our difficulties and discouragements and our trials and our circumstances in our province, despite the friends, the size, the state of our enemies, let us all go forward on the promise of God. And you'll prove the promise is true. God will not fail us. And God will not forsake us. If you're not saved, we trust the Lord will touch your heart. You know the Lord will. The Lord will forsake you. The Lord will turn away from you. Remember it says, my spirit's not overstrayed with man. You're not saved. You listen to the gospel many, many times, but never come to Christ. Why not come to Christ today? Why not trust him with all of your heart? And you will find that he will save you and give you everlasting life. Oh, child of God, let us go forward rejoicing. Let us go forward with great confidence that going forward on the promise of God, I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Amen. Let's all pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. We pray that you'll burn it into our hearts. We're glad we have this promise that Joshua had. Lord, thou will not fail. Thou will not forsake us. Thou art God who loves his people. We know we're on victory's side. Lord, if we keep ourselves right, if we keep ourselves right in thy word and meditate on it, and Lord, observe it and obey it, then we'll prosper. We'll have the promise of God. Encourage your people on those who's cast. I pray the word has been encouraging to their heart. And be with us, Lord, we pray. Keep us safe and take us now to our safety, to our homes and safety. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.